Actually on the Mac though.
Blog Talk Radio.
This podcast is part of the Power of Podcasting Network. Find it at powerofpodcasting.com. Changing the world, one download at a time.
Today's episode of Ask the Podcast Coach is dedicated to the loving and caring, wonderful wife of Dave Jackson, who on this day, 6 years ago, said, I do. Ask the Podcast Coach for June 20th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Yes, it's Ask the Podcast Coach. And yes, Dave's trying to get laid. Okay, hey, if you're new to the show, I'm Dave Jackson, and this is Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. And joining me, as always, recommended by 4 out of 5 dentists, the one, the only, Jim Cullison. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Greetings, Dave. I know I never have to worry about that because Sarah never listens to any of my podcasts.
Yeah, that's going to say. I thought about that. I'm like, you know what? That means she would have to listen. And my wife, not a huge fan of the podcast. Never has been.
Funny? Our significant others, I mean, she listens to it every once in a while, but it, not like a regular, you know. I think she gets enough of me.
Well, here's the fun thing, because most of the time, if I'm listening to something, a lot of times it's members of the School of Podcasting or somebody I'm trying to help. So it's somebody who just started podcasting and they haven't quite worked out the kinks yet. And it's like, yeah, so she'll hear it in there. You know, it's the old 3 Guys, 1 Brain podcast. And she's like, what is this? You know, so she was never a huge fan. I've almost talked her into doing a podcast, but she's a person that cannot get over.
Well, you had a podcast for a while, right?
Yeah, and she just can't get over the she hates the sound of her own voice. So, you know, what you gonna do? But hey, if you'd like to, we say we answer your questions live. We do that through a phone number, and that is 347-850-8007, 347-850-8007. And we should probably be nice and say we are using Blog Talk Radio's interface for the phone. Still testing their stuff. I was over playing with their website today just to see what's new and see if everybody... I'm not sure, like, if you signed up today, I'm not sure what, like, format your audio is in. Like, if everybody gets the Big Shot Smarty Pants, you know, CD quality stuff or whatever it is. Because I listened to somebody, and I know you're able to upload your own stuff. But, and they're making tweaks over there. There's not quite as much advertising over there as there used to be. But
a Pod Vader has not been very, I mean, there, he quieted down. He was everywhere for a while.
Yeah.
And then he has quieted down. He, of course, is working for Blog Talk Radio. Mm-hmm. Was very aggressive, I think, in kind of trying to change our opinion of them.
Yeah.
I mean, he was constantly in the Facebook groups doing stuff. So I haven't heard from much from him. They're probably busy with their conversion.
It could be. And it is funny because his email is podvader@blogtalkradio.com. It's not. What is his name? Jason, right? If I remember right?
I don't know.
Something with a J.
I just know him as Pod Vader. You know? That's all I do.
Well, I do have a 15-second podcasting tip today. On I was in Michigan this week teaching. What was I teaching this week? Access to the...
no one should ever use Access, ever. But sorry, Dave.
That's all right. It's DTE... Energy in Michigan. It's like it's one of the illuminating companies or whatever you want to call it. They do power and gas and et cetera. Yep. Anyway. And so I had to, I knew I was going to have about 4 hours in the car, and I downloaded a book from Audible called, 6 Figures in 6 Months. And the book was not bad. It, you know what you're getting when you get that book. It's all about working hard and believe in yourself and stay focused and blah, blah, blah. But the guy didn't have a pop filter. It also, like, every P and B and even H's and CH's, so to where I almost turned off the book, because in the first 2 minutes, and I'm listening in the car, so I've got the stereo pretty loud because, you know, you've got trucks and stuff going by. And I was just surprised that, A, I thought, like, I guess there was a standard for Audible stuff, but I know, like, I could, if I ever want to record my book, I could have it on Audible. But I was just, to me, I was like, I haven't heard that in a while, where somebody just forgets the old pop filter. And what happens, of course, is when you say things like peanut butter, it just sounds really nasty. And in the car, it was just rattling my windows. And I thought, wow, okay, you're making six figures according to his book. But a pop filter is like $15, if that. And, you know, it's always funny when I hear somebody, you know, they'll go out and spend $600 on a Heil PR40 and the stand and this and that, and then they don't get a pop filter. I'm like, oh, wow. So that's,
or their mic work isn't good, right? I mean, that can happen if you get too close to your mic, or you get your gains turned up too high.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so man, test that. Get, you know, go out there, record it, listen to it again. You'd think before you go on Audible, you'd check that quality.
Yeah. So, but the other thing I was really bummed about, I had planned on taking the StrengthsFinder book with me, but unfortunately it was right where I left it, which is on top of my computer. And I open up my suitcase and I'm like, oh, cool, I've got time to read the book. And I'm like, doggone it. So,
but we'll get you those top five. That's the important part of that book, you know. And I got the Gallo t-shirt on today. It was just the one I grabbed off the top of the pile. But you know, top five, we'll get that for you. Then we can have those conversations about it. So,
but we do. I did have a question, and I thought this was first of all, I have a question for the audience. So again, if you guys want to call, it's 347-850-8007. I'm doing an episode Monday on the School of Podcasting, and the topic is going to involve. Here's what inspired it. I'm driving to Michigan. I'm listening to Moondog Marketing. And this is John Buskall, who's in Sweden, talking with Andy White, who used to be Dr. Pod, still is Dr. Pod, from the UK. And they both start talking about me. And I was like, oh, wow, cool. And luckily, they were saying very nice things, which was cool. But I was like, wow, that's, you know, it made me feel all giddy and I'm telling you guys about it now. So this is my question to the audience. And if you want to call in, that would be awesome because I'm recording this and then I can play it on the School of Podcasting. So if you want some free promo, but you can, you know, have you ever heard your name on anything, you know, a podcast, radio, TV, whatever? B, how did it make you feel? And C, what did you do? Because I'm noticing a pattern that usually you tell somebody. I don't know. Jim, have you ever had your name? I mean,
I'm ashamed to admit this, Dave, but I actually get all pumped up when you mention my name on School Podcasting. I mean, it's, and I podcast with you every week, but it's still one of those things I think you like it. And I listen to the podcast, kind of waiting for that moment. And there's times I'm like, oh, we talked about that. He didn't say my name, you know? And I'm just being transparent.
Right.
I mean, I think inside of us all, there's this need for recognition. And I think when you mention people's names, it's neat. I mean, I think people like it. And so I try to do it as often as I can. You're really good at this. When you refer to the person and their website and their podcast, when you can remember it, you know, when you mention them. And I think that is a secret to success in getting people to lock into your podcast is just mention them every once in a while or take opportunities to mention them. They'll come back. They'll keep listening because it's addicting. You know, it's addicting.
Well, that's kind of the thing is, it's always weird. This is kind of like the warm-up game to the School of Podcasting. But my point is we try so much to get new listeners. And of course you want to do that. But another way to get new listeners is to fan the flames of those who are already listening. And I was like, and that's when I was like, okay, well, that's, you know, I heard my name on this. I was listening to Ask Pat and somebody said, I'll probably freak out if you use this, you know, and then there was something, I'm going to pull a clip from Nick a couple weeks ago on this show. I think it was the show where he said, I can't believe I heard me and my son on your podcast. I think that's one of the things that inspired this. That was the first one. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And so then it's one of those things where you kind of see that almost like I've used this analogy before. When you buy your car, you've never saw your car anywhere on the road before. But as soon as you buy it, every time I turn around, I see a blue Prius. And so I think I was kind of like, you know, people do get kind of, it's kind of cool when you hear your name on another show. And I was like, and I think most people either A, will play it for somebody else maybe, or, you know, who knows, but.
No, Dave, in the early days of Home Gadget Geeks, we called it Home Tech in those days. I would have my most engaged listeners come on the show and talk about their tech setup. And that was kind of a way of engaging them. And if they were really good, we'd have them back, you know, 6 months later or whatever. And that was their opportunity to be on the program. And it was a great way to engage them. And lately I've had enough guests. I haven't had to do that. And I was thinking the other day, man, I really need to get back to that. It has been a while. I've had guest after guest after guest after guest and have not reached out to the listeners. And I need to go out again and say, hey, would you come on and podcast? Some of them have gone through those family situations where they've had kids and they can't, you know, it's amazing what little children do if you actually try to podcast with them. And it's impossible for a lot of people. But it is a great way. Reach into your audience, bring them on. And it's not the interview show that you think it is, right? This is you having your listeners on. And man, I think that gets a lot of mileage.
Yeah. And I'm laughing in the chat room. We mentioned that the one show, Daniel says the guy makes six figures because he saved money by not spending $15.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's how they do it.
You don't recognize the pops until you probably buy it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah. John Buchanis is saying that we are all attention seekers. I think that's true.
Absolutely. That's why we do this.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, come on. As podcasters, that's what we're looking for. Right? You can spout all the mission and purpose that you want. But at the end of the day, right, we are really on this because, I mean, that's why the desire for listeners is so high. That's why we check our stats all the time. That's why we, you know, as much as we say, oh, we don't do it for the stats. Well, okay, come on. When you look at the stats, it feels good, right?
Right.
When you bumped, you know, my Home Gadget Geeks has been, but we kind of plateaued at a certain level from a certain number of listeners. And it's been that way for a year or two. I'm happy with it, but I'd get super pumped if we made the next level. I remember it with the Gallup podcasts when we hit 1,000 downloads a week. That was a big milestone, you know? And I'm like, yes, you know, and I still check those all the time. Looks like we have a caller.
We do. Ending in 4332. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, Dave. This is Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity Podcast.
How are you?
Hey, very well. I wanted to share with you a time that someone mentioned me on their podcast, and that someone was you.
Ah.
It was early on when I just started the Audacity to Podcast, and I mentioned this just recently in an episode of my show. I had only found you and Cliff Ravenscraft, the only other two podcasts about podcasting that were running at that point back in mid-2010. And I just launched the Audacity to Podcast, and I was listening to you and to Cliff, and I think I was mowing the yard or just getting ready to mow while I was listening to your show. And then you mentioned me and you said, there's this new guy that has a podcast about podcasting. His name's Daniel Lewis, and the show is called the Audacity to Podcast. He's a few episodes in, but he hasn't talked about Audacity yet. We'll have to see if he does. And I remember at that time, you were completely unknown to me other than your podcast. And you had been doing that for a very long time. So to me, you are a celebrity. And for me to hear my name mentioned and my podcast mentioned when I had no interaction whatsoever with you, I was amazed at that and just felt like, whoa, this is totally awesome. This guy I completely don't know that I've been listening to for the last few weeks, binging on all of his episodes, he mentioned me.
Well, there you go. That proves the point. And the beauty thing, I actually, that's a really good episode, by the way. It's 5 years of reflections or something, lessons you can learn from, because congratulations on 5 years of the Noodle Mix Network. And the thing I loved about that episode is you said you thought the space was kind of crowded because there were already two podcasts. Yeah, I was like, and now you turn around and I did just discover the Podcast Dude, which actually is not a bad show because he comes from kind of like you. He comes from a design background. So he's throwing in all sorts of CSS tips and things like that. So interesting. Yeah, cool. But awesome, man. Well, how's moving to Arizona going?
Slow, very slow. But I'm looking forward to it. And it's funny. I know more podcasters in the greater Phoenix area than I know in the greater Cincinnati area. And I haven't even moved to Phoenix yet.
Well, there you go. So you'll have a good welcoming committee when you get there.
Yeah. And you'll have to come out sometime as well.
There you go. That'd be fun. That would be a new kind of sunburn. That's
it's really hot there, Dave. Yeah. Right now, it's even getting hotter. I think I have a friend of mine, 114 degrees in Phoenix yesterday.
Wow. Ouch. Yes. Awesome.
But 5% humidity.
Yeah. Well, Daniel, I saw a cookie baking recipe for in your car in the, where you could put the cookies out in the morning on the tray in your window, and you just let them sit all day. And by the time you come back in the afternoon, they're all cooked and baked and ready for you.
I am going to do that sometime. I will do that. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll see you later. Daniel.
You know, Dave, I remember I got mentioned way back in the day. This would have been maybe 2007. I started listening to Home Server Show, which I was a big. I come at this from a backup server. You know, that's how I came into podcasting, was on the really geeky hardware side. And I remember I wrote in to Dave McCabe, who's the host over there, and we still do that show. Oh, I don't know, every 3 weeks or so, and. I sent him an email, and he mentioned the email on the show. Man, for me, that was a big, gigantic deal. I just remember thinking, oh, you know, I've made it. And, you know, there's all of like 1,500 listeners or maybe 2,000 at a time on his program. But that was cool to hear him reading. And then he eventually invited me on the program. That's what got me podcasting. That was the genesis of it. So, you know, you never know the impact you're going to have when you read a listener's email.
Yeah. Since Daniel was on here, I'm going to give Steve Stewart a little plug. If you go over to stevestewart.me, he's got an Audacity course, and Daniel was just, what he's been doing are these live webinars. And Daniel did one where he went and showed a feature called Chains in Audacity. That was really, really cool. And these are free. The cool thing is you can, like, the next one, I think, is the 23rd with Hanny from Simple Podcast Press. And that's all about premium players. And sometime we're going to have to schedule something. Steve wants me to come in and talk about file management. And then all these webinars are part of Steve's already created Audacity course. And I was watching Daniel's one on Chains, and it's just a feature I never used and was like, wow, that's actually pretty cool. It's one of those things where I don't use Audacity. I know it enough to be dangerous in it and to help people. But some really interesting technology there that I was like, interesting. We're talking about pop filters. There is a pop filter. There's a company. I'm going to put this in the chat room. If you go to bestpodcastinggear.com. That's my affiliate store now for Amazon. And there's actually a company called Newer, N-E-W-E-R. They do basically, I'll pull my, this isn't it, but it's close to it. It's, I forget who made this one, but it's the same theory. It's a little, it's a shock mount and a pop filter, all for, the right size to fit like an Audio Technica 2100.
I'm not sure you need it. I've used the foam.
Yeah.
You know, the foam filters, they're $2.45.
That's it.
They work just fine.
Yeah.
So DeFore's out there talking about what's a pop filter for a 2100. I'm not sure I would, you know, you could do that if you want, but right. I've used foam filters. We use them at work and here in the studio. I ship them off to folks. And with the 2100s, I think that the I don't know what they call the cage around it.
Yeah, that shock mount
is actually the screw on. Oh, the SM58s have the same thing.
Yeah, right?
They got this mesh cage around the condenser. Right. That does a pretty good job. I get very little pops from my audience, and I ship them all 2100s or 2005. So with the 2100s, I'm honestly not sure, Dave. I'm not trying to take
seriously right. that you need one. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you want one, I think those are great. Or the foam filters work great too.
Yeah. I would definitely agree. If with the right placement and just a little awareness, I guess, if you know you're going to say something with a P, maybe, you know.
They're not susceptible to it though. I think the way they're built, they're not as susceptible to pops as other microphones would be. The 58s, this is why the SM58s are so good. Those are really hard to pop.
Yeah, that is true.
They work really hard. So looks like we have a caller.
We do. Ending in 6155. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen. Nick Suberling here.
Ah, I was hoping you would call in. I'm like, oh, yeah? Save me from having to go back and find that clip.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And actually, that's not even what I was calling about, because I have two other ones.
Okay. Well,
but still, it was really neat to hear my son in the show we did. I guess it was almost 4 years ago. But yeah, my wife got a kick out of that too, by the way. hearing that on your show. So well done.
Beautiful.
Well, you made her day.
Well, you said you've got two more. So what are those?
Well, the first one, I don't know if you may or may not remember doing this, Dave, but there was a show I used to host called Start Talking and Recording Today. Do you remember that show?
I love that show, man. I want to see, can you somehow incorporate the lightning round into podcasters group therapy?
I might. Yeah, we'll see. We can figure something out, maybe. It's not a bad idea. Yeah. That requires us to have a guest. And we haven't had any guests lately. But that might be changing here in the future. But right. I remember it was an email that I got from you, just kind of introducing yourself and welcoming me to the podcast about podcast community. And it was actually like a video link that you sent me, and it was a video message that you sent me. And I was just taken aback by that. I'm like, what? A, how did you know I was doing a show on podcasting? And B, like the fact that you took the time out to do that and mentioned it on your show, how much you loved the lightning round. You thought that was really cool. To me, I thought that was so awesome. And I was really, really excited to hear that. So that's the first one.
Okay.
And then the second one was when we started Podcasters Group Therapy, when Corey, Tawny, and I, we started the show, I was a little apprehensive because I didn't have the best of luck with Start because let's face it, I podfaded. I couldn't keep it going. And right. I honestly kind of felt like I had let you down because I knew how much of a fan of that show you were. And so to hear you sing the praises of PGT and really be excited about it, that made my day as well. And, I was apprehensive. I was nervous. Like, what are folks like you and Daniel going to think of me getting back into this podcast about podcasting realm? I was apprehensive, and you both have been very kind and excited about it. So thank you.
Well, I was happy to have you back. I was, you know, to me, and no, you did not let me down. There's this little thing called your life that was going on. And how many kids do you have?
I've got twins. They're going to be 7 next month.
There you go. One word that says it all. Twins. That's it. It's just, you know, that pretty much answers that question. So no, man, that's, you know, we all have, you know, and it may be, even if you had no kids, if it just wasn't doing it for you, I think you said on Podcasters Group Therapy, you just weren't really comfortable doing a solo show.
Yeah.
And so, you know, check that one off the list, you know, okay. Okay. I've tried that, been there, done that. So awesome. So cool.
Those were my two. And I appreciate all the kind words every time. It's pretty cool. It's awesome. And you're right. You walk around, and as much as I can show my wife and play the audio for her, like, she just doesn't get excited like I do. So it's awesome.
While you're on, before we get you off the phone, Jason Bryan in the chat room says, I remember the first time Nick called me a tool on Podcasters Group Therapy.
He's lying because I did not call him a tool. Corey Finneran called him a tool. If you go back and listen to the audio, I simply laughed at Corey's joke.
Roll the tape, please. Yes, exactly. So,
Nick, great work on Podcasters Group Therapy, by the way. I as well have been listening to that and enjoying it. And don't ever apologize for going 3 weeks again. That's part of the deal, right? You guys, it is what it is. And I think as podcasters, your audience, right? They know you guys are busy. So just dive back in and jump in there. And, you know, if you need to take 3 weeks, it's tough to get three people together, right? If you need to take 3 weeks. I appreciate that. It's a great show. I think you guys, if you're thinking about doing guests, I think that's a great idea. Bring them on for 15 or 20 minutes and do an interview and move on to your stuff. I don't think that's a bad idea.
Yeah. I think that's something we're going to explore, and not just like having guests, but actually having guest hosts, because the summer is just, it's crazy. I mean, Corey's on vacation again this week, so I don't know when we're going to do another PGT. And
that's a great idea.
We've got some plans to do.
Great idea. Whether you record it with a guest or they record it with a guest or whatever, that would help you, you know, kind of get through. That's a good technique to help you guys get through the summer.
Yeah. And the good news is I'm no longer on third shift. Starting Monday, I'm back as a first shifter. So my life is going to be normal again.
Wow. Good. That is cool.
Good for you. Back to not living in the land of zombies.
Yeah. I'm still going to be at work at 6 a.m., but it's still, I'd rather be home at 2.
Yeah.
You'll find how that will work better for your podcasting, because I think evenings are the time. You know, I find a great time to record a podcast is like 9 p.m., just because for a lot of people, their day ends at 9, right? The kids have gone to bed or whatever. And so that will, your day was starting at 9 p.m., right? I mean, your work day was starting. So you might find having those evenings open up. And even though you got to get up at 4 or 5, whatever, to be at work by 6, you'll make that sacrifice. It's a lot easier for you to do that and be tired at work the next day than for your guest to join at whatever hours. I mean, because it's tough to get somebody on first thing in the morning. Right?
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah. I think you'll find that a lot better.
The reason I'm going to like it a lot better, too, is I'm not put in that box of, I have an hour, and then if we're not done, I've got to run. Like, I have to go to work.
Right.
I don't have to deal with that anymore. Now I can start at 9, and if we need to go an hour 10, hour 15, it's not a problem anymore. So that's going to be huge. I can't wait.
Awesome. Congratulations, man. It's great news.
Thank you. I'll get off the phone now and let everybody else chime in. You guys are the best.
Thanks, man.
See you, Nick.
Bye.
See you. And we should say at this point, we mentioned John Buchanis before. John Buchanis, you ready for our big joyride experiment? We are very pleased to announce that it will go down in history as our very first awesome supporter is the one and only John Buchanis. So nice. If you're interested in being awesome and being a supporter of the show, you can go over to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. And he was the first, and I should say, and only person to.
Hey, it's an experiment.
That's right.
You got me thinking about it. I announced on my show on Thursday that I might create a Patreon feed or a Joyride mm-hmm. feed just to try it. And if they want to subscribe to it, they can, but it could either be the post show like we're doing here, or it could be just the show content. I'm Fortin Dave with the idea of just running a free feed and a paid feed. Mm-hmm. And if you want to support the show, just go to the paid feed. You don't have to. You can get it for free if you want to over here. Just because there's those people who want to. I think we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
There's those people who want to support you. And I'm not a big donation guy. So, hey, pick up my dollar feed, or if you want to pay $5, do what you want.
Exactly.
Right? It's up to you. I don't care. Just go do it. That's what you want to do. So.
Well, that's I played the one clip where the guy said his audience just was like, how can we give you money? You know, it's like, well, if you want to give me money, by all means.
Look, don't get in the way of that, right? Don't get in the way. Sometimes in business, and I'm not saying we do this at Gallup, but sometimes we do. We get in the way of our customers giving us money, right? We make it hard. There's a book that came out back in the 90s called Why Are You Making It So Hard for Me to Give You My Money? And it was one of those customer service books of all the mistakes that a lot of companies make with customer service. I think sometimes as podcasters, I mean, I do. I make it difficult for my listeners, if they wanted to do something, I make it difficult. I don't provide a lot of great ways for them to pay me, and can use my Amazon affiliate link, and they're really good at that. So they're doing well there, but I don't have that channel. And so you've kind of, through this process of us talking about it, I'm kind of getting more and more convinced that I probably need to have a Patreon channel that is just the same thing I put out every week, just the ability for somebody to pay for it. And if they really want to do it, then I'm like, that's how you get it done. You know, and not do the, I'm going to give you some bonus content. I mean, if you want to get into that, you can. I think that pisses listeners off. And let them choose.
Yeah. Right?
Let them choose what they want to pay for and what they don't want to pay for.
You know what? I may be inaccurate. When I look in my Joyride account, it says John is following me, because Nick points out on the front page, it says I have zero supporters. And I don't know if he turns into a supporter at the end of the month and he actually, I don't know, we'll find out.
Maybe they haven't updated their stats.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty interface. I am starting to think, just because I think they're longer in the game, Patreon seems to have, they just came out with a bunch of new stuff. I just got an email where they came out with, they redesigned their dashboard.
Patreon
has some new stuff where you're going to be able to see all of your patrons and what level they're at. Like they're updating more or less their stats behind the scenes. And I was like, you know, not that Joyride is bad, but it just seems like because they've kind of got the jump on everybody, there seems to be a little more.
You got to be first. What's the two things you got to be? You either have to be first or
the best, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
First helps.
Yeah.
Right. That's just a pretty good being the first, although that didn't do anything for MySpace. So.
Well, it did for a while.
Yeah.
It's amazing that they keep trying to, pump blood into that thing. It's like, not going to work.
It's how would you love to have your product be the universal symbol of getting left behind?
Yeah.
Right. Cause everybody uses that example.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh yeah, remember MySpace? I mean, you're talking about anything or any conversation about being left behind on anything. And it's like, yeah, he's, you know, the guy who comes in second on the marathon. Yeah, he's the MySpace of running.
Yeah, that is true. It's just, it is what it is. And well, here's a great point. Let's tie that into podcasting. What does MySpace do? When they first started out, I believe they were just music, and it was a way to meet up with people. It's kind of like Facebook. That's why Facebook took off. But then they're like, oh, wait a minute, we can add comedy, and we can add this, and we can add that. And they try to make it everything to everybody, and it became nothing to everyone, basically.
Well, not to use another phrase, but they jumped the shark.
Yeah.
Right? They that's a great example of trying. They just got to a point, and they didn't focus on what they were best on. And this is one of the things I think when we think about podcasting is we start a show, and then we try to add more and more segments to it. And pretty soon it becomes so polluted with segments or different things that it's just a hodgepodge mess. And so, you know, you talk about this from time to time about website creep.
Yeah.
Where you're the front page of your website, you try to jam so many things on there. It's so unfocused by the time you're done. Nobody knows, nobody will click on anything. And so I think with your podcast or with your website, you really want to focus on a few things. One of the techniques I've used is to focus on a few things a quarter. So each quarter I say, okay, I'm going to emphasize and this, and maybe that's it. Maybe one or two things. Because most people are only going to do one or two call to actions anyway. So focus on those things in both your show and on your website, coordinate them. So if they come, you know, they're hearing the consistent message. And then the next quarter, do one or two more new things. And because people get tired of you pimping your Amazon affiliate link, or they get tired of you pimping your whatever that right. you have out there. Switch those up. And on your website, same thing. Keep it simple so people have a call to action. You see these, and Daniel's really good, pretty good about this when in his design. You see these crazy logo designs that have just so many images in them that you can't, like, you can't even concentrate on it. Your eye just explodes on the page. Because you're trying to get a microphone in there and all this colorful stuff going around. And really, in design, you want to get someone to focus on one point to get in there so that they see what it's about. And so I really focus on those things.
Yeah. A friend of mine, I think he was a co-host one week on Ask the Podcast Coach, Charles McFall, just redesigned his website at charlesmcfall.com. And it's interesting because he has a lot on the front page, but there's a lot to be said for white space. And the theme he's using, I want to say it was like $58 on ThemeForest. And I was like, you know what? This is kind of a cool, there's, you know, he's showing everything that he does, but it, to me, at least, my first impression was like, okay, this is flashy without being too flashy. It's fairly, you know, well laid out. To me, I just saw it and was like, wow, this looks pretty cool. That was my first impression.
It's simple, right?
Yeah.
We're moving into a design era of a simple, minimalistic, you know, one picture, one image. But you really want to think through the eyes. I mean, have some friends look at your website and say, what does it inspire you to do? Just go look at it. What does it inspire you to do? If it's not what you want, then you got to fix it. You got to change it, you know, and get them to do that.
One of my very first entrepreneurial kind of things that I used to do, I don't know if I still own the domain or not. It was called firsttimevisitor.com. And what you would do is you would hire me and I would basically go to your website with Camtasia running and just talk out loud. All right. Here I am at your website. Here's what I think you do in the first 10 seconds. Okay, now I'm going to try to buy your product. And now I'm going to do this. And I would just talk out loud. And it actually went over fairly cool. It was just, somebody else came on the scene and did it much better, quicker, faster, and cheaper. And I went, okay, well, that's the end of that. But it's always a great idea to have somebody, again, that, you know, this is where you want to go find your mom. You know, don't ask your mom what she thinks of your podcast because she's going to love it. But have mom navigate your website and yeah. see if she can get around, because you want somebody who's maybe not super tech savvy to pop around. Because if she can do it, well, then, you know, anybody can pretty much.
But ask them the question, not just go to the website, but what are you inspired to do when you get there? Like, what's your first reaction when you get to my website? And as I think of my own, I'm thinking now I'm questioning, I've got a player that's probably a little too, I want people to click on a player and it gets a lot of action actually, but it's a little too far down. And I think I need to slide that thing up a little bit, but what's the first action you want them to do? Jason Bryant had asked about this, then that to promote podcasting. And that's of course a web automation tool. IFTTT.com.
Yeah.
There you go. IFTTT.com. And I set up, I actually do this for Ask the Podcast Coach. And I have a little timer. So you always say, you know, you think of if this happens on one side, then do that, right? This is these web automation tools. And they have a lot of hook-ins. But the easiest one I find, especially if I have a live show, is you can hook into a clock. So you say, when the clock says 8:30, I think that's when I do it, 8:15, 8:30. Central time, then tweet, and I send out an automated tweet that says, it's Saturday morning, it's time for Ask the Podcast Coach. Join us live at 8:30. And so I send those out. I do that for my own live shows as well. The other thing I do with my live show is on Friday morning, you know, we do it live Thursday. Friday morning, I say, hey, did you miss Home Gadget Geeks? It's okay, we recorded it for you. And I put the link to the live page.
Right? Nice.
Somebody missed it. Now, you can go overboard with this, and I've done that before. I mean, I've put recipes in that's auto-tweeted some things. And sometimes I change the time of the podcast, so we go from 8 to 9 p.m., and I don't change the tweet, and it confuses people. So just remember, if you're going to get into the world of auto-tweeting or auto-anythinging, anythinginging? Did I just say that?
That's a new verb.
I like it. You just have to remember, and I'm terrible about this, to go back and fix it because it's going to, I had this problem Thursday night. I had moved it from 8 to 9 the week before. I changed the auto tweet. I never changed it back. It bit me as the listeners were like, hey, Jim, we're confused. Is it 8 o'clock or is it 9 o'clock? So if this and that, great. You can also, there's some also functionality where you can move data with it. So when I put my file here, move it to this service here. So there's, it's good to go in and look at the recipes and see what's available to you. The good news is with the Amazon Echo, there's if this and that integration coming, and you can listen to podcasts on the Amazon Echo. You know, hey, listen to Ask the Podcast Coach, and it'll find it on TuneIn and play it for me. So
nice.
Cool service, if this and that, to give it a try. If you're not using it, you can give it a try. If you have any questions, you can let me know.
Yeah, I have an account. I don't know that I've set up a single, what is it, recipe?
Yeah, they call them recipes.
Yeah, so I have yet to do that. But it is funny because last week I made the mistake of on Saturday I recorded the school podcasting, put it out, and just to make a long story, I just wasn't happy with it. I kind of was like, it's a little bit over the. I'm always a little bit all over the place, but it was more than usual. Even though I had my notes and was kind of like, nah. And so Sunday rolled around. And I went, you know what, I'm just going to re-record the whole thing. So I went back because I knew what I was going to say, fixed it, loved it. But I never uploaded the new show. So the old one was still ready to go, scheduled to go. And so I wake up Monday morning and I'm like, oh, this is version one. Crap. So what you have to do in that case is change the date, or in my case, the time, when it came out, and I changed the title. You'll see where it says repost, although by the time you probably hear that, it won't say repost anymore, but that triggers iTunes to download the second version, which in one aspect is kind of annoying to the 227 that downloaded episode, the first version of it. But the fun thing was every time that went out, then all the auto tweets, I believe, went out twice. So it went out when it came out at midnight. And then I think when it went out again, whatever, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Automation is not always simple.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is one of those things. It's not always a simple deal. You can set stuff up. I mentioned another one, if this and that, is one Zapier, Zapier, more bent towards enterprise, but Zapier does these same kind of things. Both of them have in some built-in checks that if you're, because you can write some circular logic with either one of these that creates a process that just won't end. Right. And so, And this is where computers are really bad or good in the sense they can do things repetitively very, very fast. So they have processes set up. If you create circular logic, they'll either tell you or they'll shut that tweet off or whatever. They'll shut that action off so that you don't go crazy. But, you know, if you do one thing, if you're retweeting somebody and they go crazy and you're going to retweet their craziness, that's a drawback to automation. You just can't turn it on and forget it. You got to kind of look at it and monitor it, make sure it's doing the thing that you want. But I search Twitter for certain keywords. And when they, you know, a good way to do this is when they tweet your keywords or your show, maybe you search Twitter every time a hashtag podcasting shows up or podcast shows up, write that to a table. That's not the right thing. Write that to a sheet in Google Docs. And so I can see who's doing that. Then you can go back and you can go back manually and tweet to that person or reach out to that person. That's a good way of doing it where you're not auto spamming them, but that you are at least tracking what's going on in Twitter. There's another way of using Twitter and these automations to kind of find or track down your listeners.
Joe in the chat room is asking me about, do I still have a positive thought about the Appendipity theme podcast pro? I love it. I really do. Here's one of the reasons why I like it. When you go into those themes, they have these different like navigation. Here's the player part. There's a video. There's a YouTube video right there. It says, welcome to this section of the theme. Watch this quick 2-minute video to show you what you can do here. So the learning curve on that, even though it's a pretty versatile theme, is pretty slick. The other thing, because there are times like I use the big giant player on the top of the page, which some people are like, that's a little gaudy, but go to that website on a phone and you're like, that looks cool. So I do like it on the mobile version. And for me, I just want my website to look somewhat clean and organized and, you know, because I realize that there are so many people that may listen to my podcast and never, ever, ever go to my website.
But there's some that do.
Oh, yeah,
Google will send them there.
Yeah. So
it needs to look presentable. You don't want to drive them away.
Yeah.
You know? And a little CSS, Dave, and you could change that so that when they hit it from a full browser, it doesn't show it, or it shows a different version of it. They hit it from a mobile, it shows that one. So,
yeah.
That's a little more techie.
Yeah. The other thing I like about just Appendipity in general, number one, the guy's name is Joey, I believe it's Kissimmee. It looks like Kissimmee, but anyway, it's Joey, super nice guy. I met them at Podcast Movement last year and have just along the way, every now and then we'll get on Skype and just, he's all about, you know, being connected to the community, listening to what people need. And they've got decent support, which is kind of cool. So I did pull up my Patreon account because Nick was asking in the chat room, can you make an RSS feed in Patreon? And it hit me with this message when I logged in. It said, here's the new things that have happened. New comments on all your posts, new likes on all of your posts, updates on pledge charging, and there'll be a summary on pledges and patrons in the dashboard, which is kind of what I'm looking at. Of course, because they just changed the interface, I don't know that I see anywhere in here where people can subscribe to your Patreon. That you would think that's got to be in here, but if it is, it's not as easily found as it is in Joyride, because you walk into Joyride and it's like, here's your feed, so people can subscribe in Feedly or whatever they're using to do that. So it'll be fun to play with both these again. I'm it is kind of interesting because you have to kind of check your ego at the door. You know, you have to be careful and remember that 3% rule, that on a good day, you'll get 3% of your audience. So when you wake up the next day and go, how many thousands of people? And you go, oh, wow, we got 4.
But hey, what do you think about using that instead of using it for your feeds, using it like we've been talking about for supporters, mm-hmm. where your feeds are still free, but when they support you, and I've heard some folks do this. Who recently moved this way? You know, you get a mug, you get a t-shirt, whatever. But you know, you think about providing them. So if they support you at $15 or $10 a month, every year you'll ship to them the newest t-shirt of mm-hmm. you know, that. And you create all these advertising things, it'd be great for people to wear. I mean, you're wearing a Lipson shirt today.
Yep,
I'm wearing a Gallup shirt today. That might not be a bad way to do it, but not doing it so it necessarily locks down the feed, or that they're getting the benefit isn't in the feed itself. The benefit are the things, the swag, so to speak, that you say you will at certain levels every year, they'll get up the most updated t-shirt, or they get the most updated whatever, right? from that standpoint. What do you think of that idea of not tying that necessarily to the feed, but supporting the network or supporting you from that standpoint? Would that work?
It's definitely an interesting idea. I like it. It's something, again, that I would love to throw on the wall.
I might try that.
Yeah. I want to get a shirt that says this space for rent, and then people can, you know.
Well, people love to collect things. And I just think there's a, you know, if you can get a certain momentum going around and you got some really good design work going on.
Yeah.
I think when you create series of things, I mean, right above me, and you don't see it, but right above me here on the shelf are a whole bunch of Starbucks mugs from the, and I don't have them all, and it drives me nuts. Mm. And some, you know, the cities, the first they did cities and they drew them out, you know, it was a pencil sketch of the city. And then they went to a different style, and you know, you try to collect them, and there might be some things that you can do as far as from your supporters and get it promoted. You know, it may be a way of producing things that they'll wear or do. Everybody loves, I mean, nerds love, geeks love to wear t-shirts that have stuff on them to promote what you're doing. So I don't know. I may give that a try because we don't have a network t-shirt. I've never done that. And just because I don't know if I want to mess with it, but if I had a commitment from people
go Teespring, man.
No, that's how I'd start for sure. Right.
Yeah.
Teespring. And when you get a certain number of supporters, then boom, you kick out or you can do individual t-shirts for certain levels.
I saw where Jason Bryan in the School of Podcasting's Facebook group was asking Ryan to bring back the No One Will Punch You in the Face t-shirt. I need to get with Teespring to understand exactly, because they have a whole thing where you can set up a store. Most people, when they order a shirt, don't want to wait till 2 weeks from now for it to ship because enough people have ordered it. And then what happens if, you know, that order's gone through? Now, do I have a dead shirt in my store? I don't quite understand the whole concept over there.
Might be worth looking into.
Yeah, but you'd said we were talking this morning before we hit record, you had a Mixlr hack.
Yeah, something I discovered, and we're going to talk maybe in the post show a little bit about why I did this, but I had moved my broadcast server, and we've talked about that before, onto Azure. So it's a virtual instance in the cloud. Really, really nerdy. I will not bother, you know, I won't slow down the conversation with why or how or what we did. But in that setup of it, it didn't have a very good, when you do virtualizations in the cloud, they don't typically come, the GPU setting is very low on those. It's not meant for gaming, those kinds of things. Well, the Mixlr software, the current Mixlr software, if you download, you go to Mixlr today and you download it, the current version, requires a pretty good little GPU to run. And so when I was installing it on the VM instance in the cloud, it gave me this error message that said, you can't run this version of Mixlr. We're going to downgrade you to like 1.1 something, their original version of their software. I'm like, well, okay, that's fine. I'll run that. And if you've been with Mixlr for a while, and I have, you kind of recognize the interface, very basic, very Windowsy looking. So I downgrade it, work great, still the same setup. You can change the meters and some other things. But what I noticed is the timer was missing, right? So you've been around Mixlr for a while. Many of us took their pro plan for free, and then they downgraded us back to the 1 hour plan. Or if you're just on Mixlr for the 1 hour plan and you're using them free, you know that the player will quit today. The player will quit after an hour. And then what I do is I just hit start again, and anybody that's listening on Mixlr is going to get a little interruption in the player, but not much. Well, the old software isn't hooked into the API that way.
Nice.
It plays forever, right? I mean, it just plays. And so during the show on Thursday when we were broadcasting, I kept looking at it thinking after an hour it would quit, and it just kept going. In fact, I went for an hour and 40 minutes and it didn't quit. So I have an ethical dilemma at this point, which is I can use that software.
Right.
And it's their own software, and it gets around the functionality that they've built into the new software. And so I even hesitated in talking about this, but I think it's one of those things. If it's tricky to find, I mean, you don't just find that software out there. I had to get it. I had to invoke it and make it happen so it would drop down. But it is one of those ways, if you're broadcasting live on Mixlr, if you downgrade that software back to their old version, it just bypasses the time limit and keeps on going. Now, I don't leave my stuff on Mixlr right now. So I'm not recording it and leaving it there. I just use it for the broadcast, but a little bit of a hack.
Yeah.
Not ethical.
I did find out that if you have, I pay whatever it is, $12 a month for the plan, and you forget to hit stop. That boy just...
It'll go on forever.
Jason Bryan, like, sent me a text message. He's like, hey, just so you know, this is like Sunday night. He's like, I think your mixer's still on. And I'm like, what? I'm like, okay. So yeah, it will
air in the studio.
Let you go on and on and on. Yeah,
and I think this one will too. I think it has some functionality built in. It'll just keep going. And by the way, that's not recording to the cloud. That's recording locally to your box. So if you leave it running, it'll fill up your hard drive.
Yeah. And just so and that's what I need to do. I went back in and found that recording we don't need 48 hours of Dave.
No. And if you're a heavy Mixlr user and you don't save it to Mixlr in the cloud, but even if you do, that file will start to fill up. So you should do a little maintenance on your PC. If you're running this both PC and Mac, I think Mac is the same way.
Yeah.
Go into that Mixlr folder and clear those out from time to time because they'll get, if you do enough of them, they'll get pretty big.
Yeah. When you're on a Mac and you go into the Mixlr program, look at the menus. I kept looking on the actual interface and you have to go to the menus and go to recordings and then you can see it there. Cause I was like, there's nothing on the little player. Cause I'm used to having my menus being a PC guy on the actual device. And with the Mac, it's up on the top of the screen. And then once I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Again, it's a Mac. So, we should remind you as we're, time flies when you're having fun.
Always does.
Yeah. If you have any questions or if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I should have told Dave my, cause for the record, I wasn't saying, when did I mention you on a podcast? But if that's the case, that's fine too. It is something I'm going to mention that at the end here. But if you have any of that, again, the phone number is 347-850-8007. But I was sitting here thinking about that, like, okay, so far everybody's like, hey, I remember when you said my name on your show and they're here. And I went, coincidence? I don't know.
No, I think it builds engagement big time. Big time. Now you can't do it for hundreds or thousands of listeners, right? That gets a little bit difficult to get that done.
I'll be launching the new podcast called Say Your Name. Everybody's like, hey, welcome to the Say Your Name podcast. Welcome to Gene, Paul, and Susan. Well, and I think
it's fairly meaningless that way, right? And I think you have to be careful of like, and I know some of us do this, so I'm gonna risk stepping on some toes there. I think you have to be careful of saying, if you support the podcast, we'll mention you. We'll do a special mention on the show. I mean, I don't think that's the same kind of engagement, right? As being recognized for something. In all these examples we're talking about, like when I get geeked, when you mention me, you're recognizing me for something I said or something I did, right? And not that I supported you from that standpoint. That wouldn't be, because I would expect that. You said you'd do it. You did it.
Right.
Okay. It's cool. But when you do it unexpected, that's when it, I mean, I think that's the power of it is you're like, oh, he didn't have to say that. And he did.
Right.
You know, and
that's a good point.
Separate the two. I don't think getting people, recognizing people for their contributions is the same thing as dollar-wise, is the same thing as recognizing them for a contribution that they made to you, right? A personal note to you. It's like the difference between a handwritten letter and a form letter.
Yeah. Absolutely. We should mention, we've said Jason Bryant. That means that's six for those keeping track. How many times we've said his name? MattTalkOnline.com.
Does he get a t-shirt? Oh, that's the other show.
Yeah, that's. we do have another caller coming in here.
Awesome.
Ending in 2964. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, Dave. It's Mike Dell from the podcast help desk.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, and I just want to tell you my story about somebody mentioning me.
Okay.
Back on the old Adam Curry's Daily Source Code back in 2005, I recorded a little voice feedback for him about a ham radio podcast that I was starting, teaching people how to become ham radio operators, and he played that on the show. And of course I made a little flub up, but I left it in there and he gave me the advice. He says, yep, leave it in there, warts and all.
Nice.
I never forgot that.
Well, and you had the experience recently where the local morning radio show, right? You got mentioned on that show.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I got mentioned on the morning rock radio show. And then that's led to me working with them now. So that's kind of interesting.
But I mean, when you heard your name on the show, when you got out of your car, was that like the first thing you said to the next person you saw?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You're like, hey, they definitely were just talking about me on the radio. Yeah.
Yeah. He actually played a segment of my podcast on there that was bashing commercial radio.
Nice. Excellent.
Which was a lot of fun.
When they invited you, they invited the enemy onto their show.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was, like I said, it's been fun. I've subbed there a couple times now for the news guy, and now I'm on the payroll, so I love it.
Nice.
Nicely done.
Because
of my podcast, right, Dave? That's
I'm gonna say.
Because of my podcast.
Yeah. Well, hey, I have to record one of those for you, Dave.
You definitely, and then just now that you've seen, because I think, if I remember right, you record in the basement like many of us. Is that still correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So obviously you're in a radio studio. What, like, you've seen both sides. Like, what are your, like, takeaways from that? Like, going into a radio studio, maybe something you thought was going to be this way and it's not, or just your insights of being on the other side of the glass.
Yeah, well, the funny thing about local radio around here anyway is it's not much different. I've been doing a folk music show on the local college station for years, and they're ironically in the basement of a dormitory, so it's the same thing. But this rock station, it's, you know, just in a regular little office building, and the studio is quite nice, and it's filled with RE20s and Heil booms. It's not significantly different than what you would see the average podcaster that spends a little money would have.
Now, when you're doing the news, do you just walk in and they go, here, read this, or do you have to go and get it?
Oh, I have to go and get it. The show starts officially at 5:30 in the morning. I've got to be there at 4.
Oh, okay.
Do show prep for an hour and a half.
Wow. Okay. Lots of coffee. They pay me in Starbucks.
Yeah, lots of coffee, and it's nice. They've got, you know, wire services that you have access to that, you know, the average person won't have. And it's mostly local stuff too. So,
right.
You know, as long as you watch the 6 o'clock news the night before, you got it covered.
Well, is that where I was going to say? You just watch the news and check the police blotter and that whole nine yards.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But like I said, they called me up usually before 9 o'clock the night before. Say, hey, can you come and do the news?
Oh, gee. You probably want to go to bed right now because we need you tomorrow morning to 4 in the morning. Oh, that hurts. Just wow.
Yeah, awesome. It's not as bad as it sounds.
I don't know about that. Ooh. All right, my man. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
All right, man. Have a good one. Keep it up.
We'll see you.
Thanks, Mike.
Of course, you
can. I've been digging quite a bit of Podcast Help Desk. That's another one that I've added to my list, and Mike provides some great, you know, some just even news across podcasting, and he's just kind of an even guy in what he does on his podcast, right? Doesn't get too excited, doesn't get too down.
Exactly. That's the thing. The coolest thing about Mike Dell is Mike Dell. And that sounds weird, but he just, if you talk to him on the phone, it's just Mike Dell. I'm, you know, well, okay, that's, if you want to, okay, right. You know, he just.
And is it me, or is he the Cliff Clavin of podcasting? Is it just me? He kind of talks like Cliff, right?
I'll have to pay attention.
You know, just listen. Think about Cliff from Cheers. Think about Mike. I think they're the same.
See, when I hear Cliff, I hear giant Boston accent, and I don't get that.
Yeah, well, I know it's just the cadence at which he talks.
Right.
Speaking
of that, here's the interesting thing. I'm listening to that Young Entrepreneur show, and it's, you know, like yesterday I was on a phone call with a client, and I'm going to say she was tops 24, and everything she said, and it sounded like a question. So, you know, and for my microphone, I like to use a Heil PR40, and my name is Dave Jackson. And everything just ended going up on the, and I was like, I got done with my boss. I go, what was up? But entrepreneurs, like different tribes, like you'll talk to someone and they have a certain way that they talk. And it's a actual, like a speech pattern. And it's that intense. And they use things like fabulous and fantastic and impacted. I was laughing because I kind of dipped my toe in the different entrepreneur podcasts. And I was like, wow, these guys have a definite, which I guess makes sense if you have a Southern accent or whatever. It's not an accent, but it's like a speech pattern. I was like, these guys.
It's a cadence.
Yeah.
Right? It's a cadence to the way we talk. And we all have our isms.
Yeah.
When we do that, you know, you've got, you know, the ones we talk about all the time back in the day when you, and I kind of expect now, when I'm listening to your podcast, I kind of expect, there's another one that you do from time to time when you're, oh my God. I don't know. Oh.
Oh my God.
You do it that way. And so we all have these isms that we kind of fall back to, and especially the more comfortable we are behind the microphone. And I think they become as important part of the show as anything that we do. I mean, I would say don't avoid them, use them to your advantage. You've exploited back in the day. I heard Mike Dell actually the other day reference you. I think that was Mike. It could have been Mike, or it could have been Nick, one of those guys. Reference the, well, I knew it was Mike. And then he tried to imitate you saying back in the day, right? But those are the ties that tie our community together. I think that's good. I mean, I think that's good. And I think that's healthy that we are all tied in that way, and we reference each other. And we know what that means. Like when we say that, right. And so I think it's good. I like that we do that.
Well, and it's hilarious because that was like, I never set out to make a catchphrase or whatever. Just
no, you don't start that way, but it has, right. It has definitely become, you have those things, right. That you do. Everybody does. And
Joe Taylor knows my other catchphrase that I wish I would quit saying, which is there you go.
There you go.
When Dave doesn't know what to say, pull a string. If there was like a Dave Jackson doll, then there you go. That's one of my favorite.
John says he can't say back in the day. I can't do it either. I mean, it's your thing, right? It's your, and I think as a podcaster, it's important, and you can't try to do this. I think it has to just happen, right? But I think it's important you discover those things and use them to your advantage. There are times when, because it's branding, it's vocal branding.
Yeah. I mean, the whole personal podcast coach thing, that happened by accident. And I was listening back and I'm like, I like that phrase. All right. Personal podcast. That's it. That's my new tagline, you know? So you kind of just, you, Mike Dell says his catchphrase is anyway.
Yeah. He does say that a lot.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, we all have those things.
It's to the end of a thought, and you don't know what to say, and so he goes, so anyway.
Yeah. Do you have a catchphrase? Do you have something you wish you wouldn't say that you do?
Well, I don't think we know ours until people point them out. I'm sure I do.
Got it. We have a call coming in. That's going to be part of the post show.
Awesome.
We should say next week you will see a little change on the website, which, of course, is askthepodcastcoach.com/live. We're going to start using the Mixer player instead of the Spreaker player. The reason for that way I can cut off the shows on Spreaker and Blog Talk Radio, keep going live on Mixler, and then I have to worry about going back and editing out the post show stuff, because now that's part of the joyride thing, I was like, oh, that's extra work for me. So that'll kill that. And we were saying kind of the Mixler player does have, we'll just have to make sure people don't use the Mixler chat, although we might.
If you embed the player, they can just click play. It'll play right from your site. So that it doesn't take you to the Mixler page.
Right.
So it's a good way to do it.
Cool. Awesome. Well, we are here every Saturday. Jim, where can people find you?
Everything's out at theaverageguy.tv.
And you can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK20 to save off on your first month. And this podcast is part of the Power of Podcasting Network. You can find it over at powerofpodcasting.com. But thanks to the chat room. You guys were awesome today. Thanks to everybody who called in. You will hear yourself on the School of Podcasting, as will, I think, the person that's waiting to hear on the line here. But thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Take care. I love dead air. It makes things so much.
Now, then you know in the end
of
the
show. It is. It makes it super easy. So, yes, ending in, he said, unmuting the phone, ending in 5983. Thanks for holding. You're on with Dave and Jim.
Guys, you know you were going to mention my name 6 times. I mean, I at least call in to capitalize on that, right?
You got to, my man.
Oh, as soon as I heard on to the post show, I'm like, oh, I missed my window of opportunity.
No, never. We will time shift you in.
Ah, you know, the wonders of editing. The wonders of editing.
Right. So
as far as, you know, I'm entertaining my mom who's come in from Virginia this weekend. So I didn't really have a chance to interact a whole lot, but, you know, as part of that initial question, you know, the initial topic, and I remember the, you know, like I said, I mean, I kind of touched on it. The first time you mentioned my interactions with anything in this community, I was like, yes, people know who I am. It's like, you know, and it's different because, I mean, in wrestling, when I mention somebody, they have the exact same response. So if I mention somebody on my shows, they're like, yes. And it's just weird to be put in that situation where you're the guy that's like, you know, you become the fan versus, you know, the authority in the space. So, I did that when I was calling in sports radio back in the day. Back in the day, I can do that pretty good too, Dave. But I call in sports radio, and then, you know, with that 7-second delay, I turn it down, and I could hear myself at the end of the call. And, it was, and I've been doing that since I was 10 years old.
Wow. There you go. See, there you go. See, I don't know what to say. It's going to drive me nuts now. I'm going to end up stabbing myself with a pen. And also,
nobody's going to stab you in the face for something like that.
That's right.
Maybe that's the spinoff shirt.
Well, Jason, I've made a decision last week that you are now going to be the last thing people hear on the Clamorcast. If you ever want to, anybody listening, if you go over to, I think it's clamorcast.com/contact, you can say, hey, this is so-and-so from the such-and-such podcast at such-and-such website. Clamorcast is spelled clamorcast.com. Whatever. Thanks for the show, Dave. Clamor on, Dave. And Jason just nailed the clamor on, Dave. And I was like, oh, it's just so. I was like, oh, that's so. At the end of the show, I basically say goodbye. And then the last thing you'll hear now is Jason going, clamor on, Dave. And I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I did that in the spirit of Wayne's World. Party on, Wayne. You know, that was kind of my inspiration when I saw it. I was like, you know what? It was only one take too. So it's like, you know, some of those things that you do when you do these drops and stuff, the one take is obviously everybody loves one take. So right. I'm actually happy to hear that. That makes me very, yeah, very pleased. Cause I listen to those things and it's like, I'm sitting there going, I'm on a 4-hour drive and I'm like, crap, I need something longer than the Clamorcast.
Yeah.
So usually it's the first thing I get when I'm on a drive. Cause I've been traveling the last couple weeks.
Awesome. Any place fun?
Madison, Wisconsin, Stillwater, Oklahoma, and Colorado. So nothing until I don't have to go anywhere until I go to Fargo for 10 days in mid-July.
Fargo. Excellent.
Fargo. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do daily from out there. That's an interesting thing with my sport.
There you go.
But anyway, that's all I had to interject. I had to capitalize. And of course, if anybody, I can't see the chat right now. So if Nick is out there, yes, they were joking when they called me a tool.
Yes.
So I didn't take it. I was in the car listening and I heard, I'm like, I just tweet, oh, come on. So, yeah, you know, you can get away with stuff like that when you're friends. So, but right. Anyway, that's all I got. And, Jim, Dave, like I said, I enjoy listening every Saturday when I can, when I'm not, trying to do, go through Home Depot and cook my wife and daughter breakfast.
Right. Well, they can wait. It's brunch.
Yeah. What's that? Southern style brunch. Cheese grits. All right, guys.
Yeah. All right.
Jason has the most legit sport voice.
He does.
Voice ever. Right. I mean, if you ever want voiceover work done for any kind of like cool, like intense, we're doing this, you should call Jason and have him do voiceover work. He's got a great voice for that.
He does. So speak to me of this. First of all, what is your, let's talk about your Azure experience.
Oh, here. Yeah. You want to get nerdy?
Well, yeah, let's get our nerd
like
on.
Like the chat room is just going to leave. Like, well, oh God, it's going to get nerdy.
Well, you always talk about this, what do you call it, your streaming
broadcast
server?
We call it a broadcast server.
Okay, so first of all, what is that?
Okay, so think it's really not that, it's all not difficult to, instead of doing mix minus, which I've never been a fan of. I don't like all the hoops you have to jump for mix minus. So way back in the day when we very first started with Ustream, I needed a way to unify both the video and audio together and then blast that out to whatever service I was using at the time. We weren't even using Mixler or Spreaker. They weren't even around yet. It was just Ustream that we started with. And so I thought, how could I do this? Well, it's a pretty simple concept. If you just introduce a second instance of a second PC or Mac could do the same thing. But the trick is you have to route either physically or virtually the audio out of the speaker in back into the microphone. And then that thing becomes a really, really powerful broadcasting machine that then you can run. I run Mixler on it. I run Spreaker on it. At work, I run a phone service in it so people can call in and listen to it. Because I would never do this on my own podcast, but one of the requirements to podcast a Gallup is that I had a call-in number where people could dial in and then listen, like a, you know, an old school conference call type thing. So we do that, and we call that the broadcast server. It's just an easy way. Then I don't have to monkey with mix minus. Now it mixes all my audio together into one stream. So I don't get separate. I know everybody's getting into the separate thing. And when you use Google Plus, you're getting the audio quality of that. I can use it for Skype as well. So when I'm recording people, I do some podcast consulting for a group of gals, one in Vermont, one in DC, one in Denver, me here. We bring them all into the broadcast server and unify the audio there. So I have to make sure I have the mix right. But it's worked really, really well for me. It's been an easy way, and I think for the average guy, an easy way to get all that stuff together in one place to record. You can use Audacity to record on that server, by the way, because it's got both a listener and a recorder on it. It's a really cool concept. In the past, I've used that a physical audio cable come out of the speaker port, go into the microphone port. With a $7 cable you buy at Radio Shack, you could probably buy it for $3 in mono price, right? One of those. Just, you know, I've got it plugged in now, but just,
why doesn't that create like feedback? I guess
it doesn't, though, because you're coming out of the speaker port and going back into the microphone port. And on Windows, at least, and Mac too, those are two totally separate areas when we talk about ports on the PC. So there's no audio loop.
Because I would think the microphone would be coming out of the speaker.
No, it goes one way.
Okay.
Right? It comes out of the speaker, goes into the microphone.
Okay.
And, cool. And like I said, fairly easy. Once you've seen it, once you've grasped it and tried it, you go, oh, this is super simple.
Nice. Right?
You're like, so it does require a second PC, but it is if you're struggling with mix minus and to get all these things figured out, it's a great way to unify audio when you have disparate locations, right? Everybody coming in from their places. And by the way, if you have everybody coming in on a Skype connection, it's crystal clear audio. So I had this separate PC in the house. So I actually have two PCs that I podcast with, the studio PC, which is this one, Core i7, 16 gig of RAM, SSD, right? The fast one to serve me. Then I was bringing up a smaller box. You don't need a lot of horsepower for this, a Core i3. That would be the broadcast server, and it would push it out. The drawback to that is now I have both, if I'm using Google Hangouts, I've created two Hangout sessions. And if you know Google Hangouts very well, you know they're a bandwidth pig, right? They not only do they not have the greatest audio, but they just suck down a ton of bandwidth when you're doing this. So my wife's PC recently blew up last weekend, and I thought, do I go buy her another PC? And then I thought, you know, maybe I'm to the point now where I can virtualize this broadcast server PC concept in the cloud with an Azure and Amazon, right? I wonder if that would work, right? So I spun up an instance. This is where it gets super nerdy. So, you know, Mountain Dew right now. Okay, this is where it gets
nerdy. Strap yourself in.
Azure, Windows or Microsoft Azure has the ability to spin up VMs. You can serve up today. Most people can serve up server VMs if you want to. It's just like an instance of Windows in the cloud, right? You access it through TeamViewer or remote desktop or anything like that. But imagine Windows in all its glory in the cloud, right? Running up there where you just attach to it, and it's running on somebody else's server is what it's running on. Well, the server environments that I run on are super high powered server instances, right? This is server grade hardware. And by the way, in the data centers that these run in, they got really good bandwidth. So I spun up an instance of Windows 7 for almost everybody. I have a very expensive MSDN subscription, which allows me to spin up Windows OSs. For most people, they'd have to spin up a server instance. Again, not a big deal, but kind of nerdy. You can still do this on server. But so I spun up a VM, and I used AudioMeter, which is what I learned when we did when you were out that week. I had to use AudioMeter, and because I was using this PreSonus device. Oop, wrong way. There we go. If you're on the video, there it is. And it taught me in video or audio meter has it built in virtual audio cables, which is really, really cool. By the way, if you need a solution where you're using virtual audio cables, those are kind of built into this voice meter. And it's a donation. If you want to make a donation, it's donation software, AudioMeter, audio meter. Make sure you get it from their site. I think it's just audiometer.com. And the problems with VMs is they don't have traditional audio ports like we'd expect on a real PC where you're plugging them. They don't have a sound card, right? They don't. That's part of the virtualization process. VoiceMeter gives them a virtual sound card and creates that audio loop for me. in the process. So now I think of taking my PC image and moving it to a server, somebody else's server, where, by the way, I have 300 up and 300 down from a bandwidth perspective. From a podcasting standpoint, that's like having unlimited bandwidth.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're not going to saturate 300 up and 300 down. You're not going to saturate it. And so it's a pretty, so basically what you do is I log into the server in the cloud and I start Google Hangouts. I start the instance, the recording instance of Google Hangouts. Then I invite everybody in and they come in, including myself. I join that. The recording, I could do Audacity. I could do whatever. I don't do audio separately.
Right.
And I then start the broadcast. Boom. It's just like I'm podcasting. And so it's kind of a cool way. And by the way, cost wise, 36 cents an hour. So I'm renting. This is the beauty of it. Like, you need a second PC, rent it in the cloud, 36 cents an hour. My podcasts turned out to be $1.50 each. You're trying to podcast for cheap. This is not going to work for you
because
you're going to spend $10 a month. And we know how people complain about $10 a month when it comes to anything. Right. But one of these, for me, a future look, I think, at where we're going with some of these things, I don't think it'll be too long before a lot of what we do from a processing standpoint isn't done locally. Now, there's things that need to be done locally. Like, I can't do right today. I can't replicate my PC instance in the cloud. It's just not going to work. It's too, I'm pushing too much stuff to get that done. And it's better that I do it locally. But think about when you're running on the cheap and you can't afford an expensive Core i7 processor. Well, you could rent one in the cloud, move your video up there and let it process it, right? Let it run like Handbrake would work on this server, just like it works locally. And so if you wanted to, you know, crank it up for the time that you need it, get it processed, you know, throw a bunch of cores at it and a bunch of RAM at it and server grade processors, run it on there and then use cloud storage services to move those files. You could do that at a fairly reasonable cost. And you think about your average PC is $500. Well, break that down into monthly costs at $10 a month. And how long does it take you, right? I mean, all of a sudden you start thinking, hey, it actually might be cheaper and better to rent space in the cloud for some of this stuff opposed to hosting it all in-house.
Right.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So you guys can wake up now out there or turn it back on. I know we got really nerdy on that, but I think there's a huge future look in what we're doing on renting cloud space, not just for storage, because we're all familiar with that, but how do we use it for process, right? How do we use it for processing? And I think there's some cool stuff out there.
Do you know who makes Audiometer or a URL for that?
I think it's just audiometer.com.
Okay.
Let me pull that. Audiometer.
But
that's with two M's. I mean, two E's. No, that didn't work. Give me a second. I'll pull that up
here. Yeah. And Stargate Pioneer says, hey, this is cool, because then you can access that processing from your tablet if you wanted to.
You could. Yeah. No, this is the powerful thing about it is our tablets are getting powerful enough. They're not powerful enough to run, you know, you wouldn't want to try to render video on these things,
right?
Like with Handbrake, right? You're not going to get on your iPad and render video. It's just not going to happen. It's stupid. But you could access this virtual instance in the cloud and get the video rendering out there, download it there, and do whatever you need to do, you know, to get it to its place. I think this is a perfect solution for, like, when you're taking video that's already done. By the way, editing video in the cloud is still messy. So that's, you would edit locally, push it to the cloud, and then you could throw a whole bunch of processors at it to like a Handbrake, where you crunch it down into a video large or a video small or those kinds of things, especially with processes that run for a while, where you may not have the horsepower to run them. This is where the virtualization piece comes in. So let me see if I can find
this. We found it. It's Nick found it. It's Voice Meter.
Voice Meter is what it is. Sorry.
I've heard about, is this free? Yeah,
Voice Meter. It is. Well, it's donation software.
Okay.
Voice Meter. My bad.
All right. Here.
I always start with audio and then I go look up, there's a YouTube video that has the link in it. By the way, lots of YouTube videos with Voice Meter. There we go. Mm-hmm. With Voice Meter that are very helpful in how to use it.
How to use it.
One of them has a link. Yeah. No, hold on. Stargate Pioneer says, ooh, huge for the gaming industry. Not right now. This is not where it's good. Like trying to use cloud stuff for gaming? No. Now, hosting servers, yes. Like hosting a game server? Yes. Actually gaming on? No. Not good. You want local. The GPU is super important, right? The graphics card you're using is super important for gamers. You're not get today on Azure, you don't get very good GPU. Now, Amazon is flirting with this where you can actually rent GPU processing time as well as CPU processing time. The instructions that are sent to either one of those are a little bit different in the way they interact. And that's let's not get any more nerdier than that. But
maybe someday we'll have you do this and share your screen.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what, Dave? To be honest with you, whether I was local or in the cloud, it looks exactly the same. But I could walk through what we might want to do is walk through the Azure and how you access these and how you spin them up and how you get them running. Not terribly complicated.
Yeah. Nick says, why are you using VoiceMeter again
to create the virtual audio cables? Yeah. I need in the cloud instance, there's no audio ports on those because the cloud VM does not have audio ports. So I need them. I need them. And VoiceMeter creates those for me. And so when I run that software, it creates these virtual audio cables, in this case, virtual audio ports, and gives me some ability to change some settings on them and do some stuff with it. So VoiceMeter works great. You can use, there's a program called Virtual Audio Cables, VAC.
Yeah.
$25 or $30. And you can use those too. It's software.
I've played with that.
Like a port.
Is that the one that looks like it was written in Microsoft Access? Like the interface is really ugly?
Yes. There's like a million. There's a million things you can control. I found VoiceMeter to be way easier to use than virtual audio cables and cheaper because it's free unless you want to make a donation. I plan to make a donation to these guys. I'm using it now enough where I'm going to probably ship $25 their way and just say, hey, thanks for the same thing I did with our friends at the MP3.
Tag.de.
I gave those guys a donation as well. But
excellent.
So it's a great way to do it. I mean, and if you have some questions, it's just a lot more fun to talk about in person than it is to talk about one way this way. So if you're interested in talking about that, just contact me and, Jim@theaverageguy.tv. And I'd be more than interested in jumping in a hangout. I love talking about
it. It is because it's I'm sitting here listening and I'm like, about the time I think I got it and I kind of understand what's going on, I go, wow, am I a visual learner? Because I'm like, I kind of need to.
Yeah.
See it or something. It's like,
Yeah, no, I can walk through at some point. If it gets a little deep and people fall asleep. So I get that.
Well,
I totally get it.
The other fun thing that's going on as we speak, my stitches are falling out of my head. And I'm like, what is going on? They're supposed to dissolve. And I'm like, I have a piece of string in my mouth. I'm like, oh, it's my stitches. I'm like, oh, okay.
I've seen you mess with that the whole show.
I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, okay.
So Stargate Pioneer, unfortunately, VoiceMeter requires some advanced processing right now. I don't know what that means.
Wait a minute. I rerouted my mix minus this week, Nick says. I was sending the entire auxiliary send through my system he basically just got a second sound card.
Right.
That is, and that's where, you can get a Griffin iMic. It used to be getting a sound card was, you had to take off the case and put the card in. It's like, now here you go. Second, you get one of these little. Although I think somebody said these are now discontinued. I love the Griffin iMic because not only does it have a line in it, you can switch between line and mic, and then you've got an in and an out. Sometimes for whatever reason, you'll get all those options, but I love the Griffin iMic.
You can run out of these ATR2100s. You can run the headphones out into a line.
Yep.
In the mixer.
Yeah, that's what I. That's how I do.
Listen back on the mixer.
Yeah, I just listen. I will do that, and I'll take that out and throw it right into a recorder if I'm doing Skype, and then I use Skype to adjust the volume levels. Piece of cake.
Yeah. No, there's all kinds of ways to trick it for sure, and do, I had to crack up Ray Ortega created a mix minus video. Look how easy it is. And then he literally spends 7 minutes going, plug this into this and this into this, and then you go here and, showing, and you plug this into that and get this over here and then turn this up. There's like 70 instructions on his mix minus. And I'm like, it doesn't have to be that hard.
Yeah.
Now, some people want to do it. It's the right way to do it. I mean, Ray is doing it the right way. Don't get me wrong from that standpoint, but I just didn't want to monkey with that. And I think for the average guy podcasting, mix minus is way too hard on it. And it, and you have to have a mixer to do it.
Right.
There are other ways to get some of that functionality. This broadcast server concept is one of them.
Well,
it doesn't
know,
have to be hard.
I think Ray has a video using an H4N where he does a mix minus without a mixer. He somehow,
yeah.
I'd have to go back and look and see how he did it.
The 4N has got some audio and video in and out capabilities that are separate. This is really what you need, right? These devices where you have that three plug or that three ringed plug where the microphone and the headphone jack are the same, that gets a little sketchy in trying to do some stuff with it. But when they're separated out, when you have the microphone in one place and the headphone jack on the other, man, then you've got some capabilities of being able to do some interesting things if you, you know, with cables to get that working. So it's pretty cool. Ray's a good guy. I hope he didn't take that the wrong way. I didn't want to say we don't need mix minus, but.
Well, it's like anything else. There's always multiple options.
Yeah, it's just funny. It was like, because I was making an argument. I was like, I think mix minus is too hard. It's not too hard. Look at this video. And then the video had 37 steps. I was like, proves my point. It's too hard for most people. Not for everybody, but for most people.
It's one of those things, once it gets said, it's okay. But it's explaining it sometimes to people is a little rough.
Well, I think you got to think of audio like streams of water. And they're usually one direction. And so if you think of that and you map it out on a piece of paper, then it starts to make sense. So it's like an electrical diagram, right, from that standpoint.
Yeah.
You've got to kind of map it out. This is going here. And so it starts with my microphone. It ends in my headphones. You are good, including getting everybody else's audio into that circuit, right? So it ends up in your earbuds or it ends up on the recorder.
Right.
Coming out the backside.
One or the other. So awesome. All right, so
is that too nerdy, Dave?
It's nerdy, buddy, but it's got me thinking. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna have to go back and listen to this again with notes.
It's well, hey, if you ever want, like I said, maybe it's easier if I sat down with you. Again, at the end of the day, it's just another way of doing it.
Yeah, I do see, because I know you said ahead of time that you'll be out July 4th. That is a Saturday.
I know, isn't that crazy?
We should probably just have a show.
It's a holiday.
It's a holiday. It's like, so we'll be sure to mention that next week that no show on the 4th, and I'll
be out your way. I'm coming out to southern or to northern Kentucky.
Yeah, there you go.
How far are you from Cincy?
Cincy, if I remember right, is, I always get these backwards. Where's Daniel when you need him? Because one is 2 hours. Cincinnati, I think, is 4 hours. Columbus is two. That's it. Columbus is two. Cincy is four.
Columbus is north of Cincinnati, right?
Columbus is south of no, wait. Yeah, Columbus is north of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And I'm in Cleveland. Yeah, so it's like
you're south of Cleveland, right?
I'm south. I'm actually just west of Cleveland. If you go to Cleveland and turn left, you'll hit me.
Yeah, so I'm in the Amherst area? South Amherst?
Rocky River. I'm about, River. Okay. I'm a good 5 minutes from the lake. I mean,
that's the other side.
Okay.
Oh, hey, Blog Talk Radio. Yeah,
it's like, you're still here. Okay, excellent.
If you come to see, I'm not sure I can sneak away from my family. We're doing a family reunion, so I'm not sure I can sneak away for a whole day. They may not like me, but if I can sneak away, I might try.
Yeah.
Come up and see you.
Oh, that'd be cool. Awesome. Yeah, keep me posted. Hopefully, I'll be in my own state. That would be nice. They won't ship me off somewhere again. So.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. My wife's going to be like, where are you going?
Yeah.
I'm going to go see you. Day?
Yeah.
It'd be
All right, man. Well, I will say thank you to the chat room and everyone, and we'll see you next week.
All right, see you guys.
We'll see you.